this past week and broke her wrist, or 2 weeks ago and broke her wrist, and she had surgery on the wrist this week. So everything went fine? Okay. Is she able to double up a fist and hit you again or no? Okay, all right, okay, all right. Children are excused. I don't think it's children this morning, I think it's child. And Janice. Maybe children. We all pray. Sandra, no talking right now, please. We all pray. We learn to pray. We learn prayers. Many times we'll pray something like the Lord's Prayer. And I want us to start with a verse out of the Lord's Prayer. We find it in Matthew 6, verse 12. And Jesus, telling his disciples how to pray, gave us this verse. And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. You read the other version of the prayer, it says, forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. It's been a while since I've shared anything with you about forgiveness or forgiving. And the time, I believe, is appropriate for us to look at this subject again for conscience sake. There are people who have told me that they have forgiven the party that offended them in some way, but they still talk about the offense as though it had just happened. They haven't forgiven the offense. They've just filed it away for future reference. When an offense is truly forgiven, it is never mentioned again. Oh, we are human. Our brains are wonderful things. God has made them. They don't necessarily forget like we might want them to. The symptom of forgiveness is forgetfulness. That's what God does with our sin. He hides them. He puts them in the deepest sea. We may not forget an offense, but we definitely, if we're trying to forgive it, don't talk about it. It just refreshes the offense if we talk about it, because the details are refreshed in our minds. Some details may even be twisted or embellished as time passes. I really can't tell you the number of wives and husbands that I have counseled with over 60 years of ministry, because one partner or the other had an affair with someone else. And the same statement is made by one and all. Oh, I've forgiven them, but I thought you might want to know about the offense. They haven't forgiven. They're holding it as a weapon over their mate's life. They haven't forgiven them any more than pigs can fly. And I used to raise pigs and they can't fly, okay? Forgiveness means that the offense is no longer in our array of useful tools. The offense has been regulated to the dead letter file of argument. It will never be brought back up as an argument or in an effort to persuade someone to do something. Most of us have prayed the Lord's Prayer. I would imagine everyone here has prayed the Lord's Prayer many times. And every time that we pray that prayer, we are supposed to be reminded, as we ask God to forgive us, that we forgive others. As a matter of fact, if we want forgiveness from God for our sins, then we must, as the psalm requests, forgive others for the things that they do to us. We must totally forgive and forget whatever the offense was if we expect God to forgive us for the sins that we have committed against him. Just two verses later in the scriptures, Matthew 6, 14 through 16, 15, Christ explained that line that we just read, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. In Matthew 6, 14 through 15, he says, "For if ye forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if ye forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive you your trespasses." You hear that? If you will not forgive, God will not forgive you. That's God speaking. Not me, not anybody else. If we don't forgive, God will not forgive us. Does that verse 15 mean what it says? I believe it does. I strongly believe that it does. It means exactly what it says. Just imagine living your life with all your sin burdening your heart and soul. You can confess all you want, but God will not forgive your sin because you're not willing to forgive others their sin. What do you think is going to happen to you if you arrive in heaven with a soul loaded down with sin? The thought. If you don't know the answer to that question, you better spend some time with God getting an answer. It could amount or affect your eternity. You remember what Peter asked our Lord? It was an interesting question at the time. The Lord answered Peter with an outlandish number, but he also shared a parable with Peter, and I'd like to share that this morning a little bit. Listen to what Jesus said about forgiveness and be sure to heed what he said. You'll find it in Matthew 18, verses 21 through 35. Let me read that passage to you. Matthew 18, 21 through 35. Then came Peter to him and said, "Lord, how oft shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Until seven times?" I think Peter thought he had a good answer. Jesus saith to him, "I say unto thee, until seven times, but until 70 times seven. Therefore is the kingdom of heaven likened unto a certain king, which would have an account of his servants. And when he had begun to reckon, one was brought unto him, which owed him 10,000 talents. But forasmuch as he had not to pay, his Lord commanded him to be sold, and his wife and his children, and all that he had, and payment to be made. The servant therefore fell down and worshipped him, saying, Lord, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. Then the Lord of that servant was moved with compassion, and loosed him, and forgave him the debt. But the same servant went out, and found one of his fellow servants, which owed him 100 pence, and he laid hands on him and took him by the throat, saying, Pay me that thou owest. And his fellow servant fell down at his feet and besought him, saying, Have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. And he would not, but went and cast him into prison till he should pay the debt. So when his fellow servant saw what was done, They were very sorry and came and told their Lord all that was done. Then his Lord, after that he had called him, said to him, O thou wicked servant, I forgave thee all that debt because thou desirest me. Shouldest not thou also have compassion on thy fellow servant, even as I had pity on thee? And his Lord was wroth and delivered him unto the tormentors till he should pay all that was due unto him. So likewise shall my heavenly Father do also to you, if ye from your hearts forgive not every one his brother their trespasses. If you're looking for something to put the fear of God in you, this should do it, not forgiving offenses. If what Jesus says is true, and it is, there may be some people out there in the world that think they are saved, but they are not a child of God because they have not forgiven their brother or sister, and they're still not right with God. Look at verse 35 again. Tell me that it doesn't worry you in your attempt to trust Jesus as your Savior. I know that as Baptists, we endorse the doctrine of once saved, always saved. But what if this business about forgiving has something to do with salvation at the very beginning? I remember the time when I was saved. The only thing I was thinking about at that time was my sin, and Jesus Christ is my Savior. That's where my mind was. The presence of God was there. The thing about forgiveness is that it doesn't remain unforgiveness if you don't issue it. It becomes bitterness. Unforgiveness becomes bitterness in the life of every person who fails to forgive. It becomes bitterness. And you may not realize it. You may not think that that's going to happen, but it does. If you fail to forgive, you become bitter. And the bitterness shows. There are a lot of places where the Bible makes statements about people not being saved. The last verse of Matthew 18, verse 35, clearly tells us if we don't forgive, really forgive, that God will not forgive us. How do you get to heaven if your sins are not forgiven? Nothing is more important than our forgiving when we are offended. That goes for every single one of us. People in the past, many years ago, as I read about forgiveness, God reminded me about someone who had offended me as a part of his job. I was a very young Christian, and he reminded me that I had never forgiven him. This was years later. God got me to my knees, and I forgave that man for doing his job. I had been wrong, and I had taken offense, but I finally did forgive, and God was able to use me. I've had people tell me many times, it depends on how you interpret the Bible as to what you do to keep God's commands, even under grace. There are two verses in the book of Mark that cannot be misunderstood. Let's look at Mark chapter 11. Mark chapter 11. Mark 11:25 and 26. And when you stand praying, forgive. If you have aught against any, that your Father also, which is in heaven, may forgive you your trespasses. But if ye do not forgive, neither will your Father, which is in heaven, forgive your trespasses. How do you misinterpret that? You don't. It's plain English. And when ye stand praying, forgive if ye have aught against any, that your Father also, which is in heaven, may forgive you your trespasses. But if ye do not forgive, neither will your Father, which is in heaven, forgive your trespasses. I have quoted a verse from Psalms many times here at the church. If I regard iniquity in my heart, God will not forgive me. So forgiveness is very important. Verse 26 tells us plainly that if you have anything against anyone in the entire world and you don't forgive them completely, that God will not forgive you for what you have done. There is no room for misunderstanding. If you hold a grudge against anyone, and a grudge is a failure to forgive, God is not going to forgive you your sins. Do you want to take a chance with that when your soul's involved? I'd like to share a verse in Luke that causes problems for many people. Luke 6:37. Luke 6:37. Judge not, and ye shall not be judged. Condemn not, and ye shall not be condemned. Forgive, and ye shall be forgiven. You realize how easy it is for us, you and I, to judge people? I, many times in my younger years, and even occasionally now, will create motive or give a motive to something that somebody does. When I don't know their heart, I don't understand why they did what they did. I'm judging them, and that's wrong. The Bible says it's wrong. Judge not. Many times with our judgment, we condemn people. We condemn them to a punishment in our own mind we think should happen to them. Folks, there's not one of us sitting here this morning who has not probably done something very similar to the people that we are judging. We do things, and God expects us not to do them, not to judge people, not to condemn people. I won't mention any names because I don't want to get political, but there are certain governmental people that I think should go to jail. But that would be judging. And if the truth be known, they probably think I ought to go to jail for doing something very similar. There are times when I assign motives to people for things they have said or done. And I am not a mind reader. Neither are you. You can't know why they did what they did. They may have had a motive. So we forgive, and we go on. If you know someone who judges people, you need to talk to them and share this verse out of Luke 6:37. Warn them that they are endangering themselves with their actions. Now, I don't know about you, But I don't want to be judged or condemned by anyone. How can they know what I am thinking when I commit some offensive act? Many times we're involved in some problem that causes us to be focusing on some other problem in our mind. And we say or do something that we do not understand, or we do not really listen to what they're saying. I had a woman call me when I was pastoring a church up in New Jersey. She said, "Pastor, I just want you to know why I was not there on Sunday. I broke my leg." I was thinking about another problem at the time. And my reply, without thinking, was, "That's nice." Did you do the same thing sometimes? You just don't listen to what's being said, or you don't understand it. And you might say something that is an offense to that person. When I later on that afternoon, I found out what she was telling me. I thought about it, and I went to her and had to, first of all, apologize. It wasn't a good thing for her to break her leg. What is a person supposed to do in the case where they offend someone? We all have to do the same thing from time to time. The answer's in the Bible. Very simple. You know the answer. You've probably got the verse memorized, but you don't make the application. In 1 John 1:9, what does it tell us? If we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And if you go to the person and apologize to them and confess the fact that you have sinned against them, most people will forgive you. We start with God, then we go to the person that we've offended and seek forgiveness from them. And at that point, it's between them and God, not between you and them any longer. If somebody comes to you and says, "Forgive me, I did this or I did that," it's between you and God. If you forgive, God will forgive. Look at Luke 17, verses 3 and 4. It tells us, "Take heed to yourselves. If any brother trespassed against thee, rebuke him. And if he repent, forgive him." If he repent, forgive him. "And if he trespass against thee seven times in a day," and seven times in a day, "turn again to thee, saying, I repent," God says, "thou shalt forgive him." People holding a grudge is failing to forgive. God says that you are not a person who is forgiven, and don't come to God for forgiveness if you haven't forgiven offenses against yourself. We all have to learn to forgive anything that happens to offend us or hurt us. If we don't, we must know that God's forgiveness ends right there. If we do not forgive, we need to know that God's forgiveness for us ends right there. There's only one offense that you do not have to forgive. There is just one offense in the entire world that you do not have to forgive. "Oh, what is that, Pastor? I want to know." You do not have to forgive someone if they murder you, because you won't be around to forgive them. That's the only offense that I could think of that you don't have to forgive. All the rest, yes, no matter what it is. We're not supposed to wait and think about it either. We are just to forgive, and that is to be as close as it can be to instantaneous. Don't hold it as a grudge. I want to think about this. I want to mull it over. I want to, you know, get some enjoyment out of this. No, it doesn't work that way. We forgive when the offense is committed. That is what meets God's standard. There's one verse on forgiveness that needs some explanation, because it represents one of the devil's traps that catches a lot of people. It catches believers and it catches unbelievers. The verse is 2 Corinthians 2:10. 2 Corinthians 2:10. Paul wrote this, and let's look at it to see if we can figure out what he was talking about. 2 Corinthians 2:10 and 11. Paul is writing this. To whom ye forgive anything, I forgive also. For if I forgive anything, to whom I forgive it, for your sakes forgive it. In the person of Christ. If I forgive someone for doing something to me, and you observed it, you must honor my forgiveness for that person. This is coming to a point that is very important. I have seen it split churches. I have seen it separate friends forever. If you see one of your friends or somebody you love offended, do not take up that someone else's offense, because it can never be fixed. If you take up someone else's offense, the offender may go to that person they offended and say, forgive me, I was wrong. And you will never know, and you will go around carrying that grudge or that offense for someone else. You don't need to carry somebody else's offenses. You got enough of your own. You do. Do not take up someone else's offense. I've seen it split churches. I have actually seen it split churches. Because somebody sees somebody get offended, and they get offended, and they talk to somebody else, and gossip spreads. I know we're churches. We're supposed to be good churches. But almost every church that I've ever been in has got a grapevine. And word spreads by the grapevine. It's wrong, folks. That's gossip. The devil will get people to take offense for someone else, and it can never be worked out or forgiven. You might see someone get hurt or punched. Okay, that's them. You take offense to the person who punched them or hurt them. How do you get that undone? How do you get that undone? You can't. You will never know if it's undone. It's not your place. The Bible teaches, take up not another man's offense. That goes for the ladies too, okay? Take up not another man's offense. Paul is talking about taking up another person's offense is very wrong. I can't forgive what happened to you, and you can't forgive what happens to me. We have to do that as an individual. And it's so important. Like I said, I've seen churches split because someone didn't say hello the right way on Sunday morning. And someone took offense, and they talked to somebody else, and they talked to somebody else, and pretty soon, church split. All over. Something that didn't mean that much. Many times one person gets offended, and if the offense is apologized for and corrected with that one person, that takes care of it. But if somebody else has taken offense because of that, they will have to stay offended. And the devil does a lot of damage to churches that way. Once taken up, once you take offense for somebody else, it cannot be undone. Because it wasn't done to you. And nobody owes you an apology. It's my prayer that you all will be quick to forgive and never will take up an offense that is not yours. No matter how good a friend the offended person might be, it would be stealing to take up someone else's offense. There are usually enough offenses to go around for everybody. You don't need to steal. Father, we are so proud, so weak, so ready to give the devil a way of getting into our lives and disrupting your will for our lives. We pray this morning that you will help us be a church free of offenses, that you will help us to be individuals that are quickly able to forgive offenses and continue to love you. May your will guard us as we go through this life. Keep us, Father, from offenses, from being offended. Help us to be forgiving people. And Father, we will praise you for all that you do, because we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.